back next time!
Yes, sir.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good!
Welcome to Fire and Water Presents and another installment of Where Does He Get Those Wonderful Toys, or Those Wonderful Toys for short. I'm your host, Chris Franklin. In case you're living under a rock or have been on ice in Wakanda for a couple of years, you know that the day this episode drops, Avengers Infinity War is hitting theaters. You can't go anywhere without seeing that slow-mo scene of Captain America leading an army of Marvel heroes across the Wakandian terrain. Wakandian? Wakandan? Whatever. You know what I mean. You know, you've seen the scene. So, you know, us podcasters like to tie into movies and things like that. We've done it before, even on this show. So, I was thinking, you know, army of Marvel heroes. Marvel army men. And that made me think of a mostly forgotten toy line that combined Marvel heroes with the classic army man aesthetic. And no, I'm not talking about the 5-inch-ish Marx figures from the 60s and the 70s. Those are really cool too. But no, I'm talking about something much more obscure. Right as Mego was succumbing to bankruptcy and 2 years before Mattel launched their Secret Wars line, in 1982, non-toy company sounding Processed Plastic Corp, great name, stealthily released a line called Activated Superheroes. Now this is a rare occurrence for this show, since I don't own any of these toys now. But as a kid, I did, and I know exactly where I got them. I learned about these toys from a Heroes World ad that ran in Marvel Comics in mid-1982. I found a copy of that ad in Marvel Tales number 145, and it's a good bet that may be where I first saw it, since I had every issue of Marvel Tales at the time because they were reprinting the classic original Lee Ditko issues of Amazing Spider-Man in order. I was hooked. I have every one of those. In fact, most of those I've never even bothered to go back and replace them with Marvel Masterworks or Essentials or anything like that because they mean a lot to me in that format. So I've still got the copy. It's in my hand right now that I bought back then, and that ad is in here. Now, the ad only took up half a page, and it wasn't drawn by the Kubert School. Sorry, Rob. Like most of the prior Heroes Worlds ads of the late 70s through the early 80s. Instead, you got some floaty John Romita heads that you saw a lot of the merchandise at the time. The ad only took up like, you know, it was like one paragraph of this half-page ad, but it read thusly, "New Activated Superheroes Collection Set. Each set complete with 5 plastic superheroes with action hands that grip and slide down string, grappling hook with string, and superhero activator. Choose either set number 888111 with Falcon, Human Torch, Doc Doom, Green Goblin, and Spidey, or set 888112 with Submariner, Cap, Thor, Dr. Octopus, and the Red Skull. Each set only $3.99 or both for $7.50. Both for $7.50. Now that's a deal. Interestingly enough, in this ad we have floaty heads of the Red Skull, the Green Goblin, Captain America, Dr. Doom, a really tiny one of Dr. Octopus, and the Falcon.
who's missing from this, you know, who jumps out at you that's not here? Would that be the guy that's on the front of this comic book, Spider-Man? Yes, there's no floaty head of Spider-Man. Instead, let's put the Nazi. Let's make him the biggest head. Why not? I don't know. I desperately wanted these. My mom wasn't really too keen on ordering stuff through the mail, especially from comic books. I mean, she ordered a lot of stuff from Sears. That's basically where I got most of my toys as a kid for Christmas and birthday was from Sears. But I somehow talked her into it. I also talked myself into thinking that I had read the word action figure in this ad. As you just heard, it never says action figure in this ad. It says each set complete with 5 plastic superheroes. So they're just calling them plastic superheroes. Now keep that in mind. So my mom either clipped it out of a different comic, or more than likely she just wrote a note and sent it and the money off for my figures. So after that, I pulled a Ralphie Parker and I camped out at my mailbox. This was probably the first time I remember really doing that. But later on, as the 80s progressed, I would do this many times. Mostly from sending in flag points from G.I. Joe and get the Hooded Cobra Commander or the Wolverine Missile Launcher Tank or, you know, the parachute packs or something like that. And of course, the Superpowers Clark Kent mail-away figure, which took the full 14 weeks that they said it might. Ugh. When the activated superheroes finally arrived, it was a mixed bag. First of all, these weren't action figures. They never claimed to be action figures, but in Chris's little mind, they were action figures. No, instead, they were one-color plastic statuettes with a base platform under each foot. It wasn't joined under each foot. Each foot, like your standard army man, each foot had its own little base. And the real bummer of it was I got two of the same set, the one with Spider-Man. So I did not initially get the Captain America set. But my mom quickly rattled off a letter or called Heroes World or something, and the proper Cap set was sent out. I actually got to keep the double of the Spider-Man set, so that was cool, you know, in case one got broke or something, you know, lost one or something like that. Now, the figures themselves were about 3 inches or so, as I recall. This is me going off memory. Again, I don't have any in hand to measure them. And they were very well sculpted. The activated name came from the included superhero activator that was a fairly cheap plastic contraption that you attach to each of the bases on the figure's feet. When you pushed and or pulled on the handles, it made the figure rock back and forth as if it were walking or, you know, attacking. If you set Spider-Man in front of the Green Goblin, you could pimp slap the Green Goblin if you used the activator. Now, each figure had a hole in one upraised hand, usually right through the palm, which looked really painful. In the case of Captain America and Thor, the hole was punched right through their normally indestructible shield and hammer, respectively. They could then slide down the attached string grappling hook combo. Now, the figures were, you know, like I said, they were pretty neat. Spider-Man, at least the one I have and everyone I've seen a picture of, was cast in red. He had, the bases on his feet looked like web, so it looked like, you know, he'd like, I don't know why he was, maybe he was surfing on a web or something, I don't know, who knows. But he had, you know, his hand outstretched. He wasn't doing the Spidey thwip finger thing. He just had his open-palmed hand with the hole in it. The Green Goblin was, duh, cast in green. Very light green. Very bright green. And he had a satchel sculpted onto him. He had all the scales of his goblin costume. And he had a hole on his hand. He didn't have the Goblin Glider, which was a little disappointing. Falcon was pretty cool. He had both arms raised up and his wings were spread out. He had a hole in only his left hand, which made it kind of weird when you were sliding down a rope because he was kind of like dangling weird with the way the wings were stretched out. You kind of wanted a hole in both hands, but they didn't do that. So the Human Torch, he was pretty cool. Of course, he had a hole in his hand and he had the flame effect on him was neat because there was like an aura of thinner plastic triangular shaped flames like all around him. He really did kind of look like he was on fire. As close as you're going to get to looking like you're on fire if you're made out of plastic. Thor didn't have a cape. That was one weird thing. He didn't have his cape. He did have his right hand raised up, with a hole through Mjolnir, which was, again, really strange. Dr. Octopus, he had little tiny octopus arms. They were pretty small, but it was still pretty cool. He was all with his, like, it's that one picture of Doc Ock you see where he's got his back arched. He's, like, got his arms all spread apart like he's going, ah, ha, ha, you know, that type of thing. Captain America was very Steranko with the shield up high above his head on his left hand and the hole in the top of the shield. Namor actually had his trident in his hand, which was cool. So that was a nice little bonus feature there. They were all pretty sweet. Dr. Doom did have his cape, you know, which was kind of odd why they didn't give Thor a cape and gave Dr. Doom a cape. And he had a hole through his, you know, robotic looking fist. Some of the color choices were kind of interesting what they picked, besides Spider-Man and the Green Goblin, which pretty much makes sense. Falcon, Thor, and Captain America were in blue. I mean, obviously Captain America makes sense in blue. Not sure about the Falcon. Shouldn't he be in red? The Human Torch was red, thank goodness. Dr. Octopus was green, which makes sense. It was his primary color. The Red Skull was in red. Of course, makes sense. Namor was in green. I guess his trunks were green. The really head-scratcher in the bunch is the Falcon, who has absolutely no blue on him. He should have been cast in red. The rest of them kind of made sense. I actually remember playing with these on my parents' back deck with my friends, sliding the figures down. I think we, you know, made a longer string, and our deck was, you know, elevated. You had to take steps to get down into the yard from the deck, so it was kind of neat. We would take a longer string and slide them clear from the top of the rail of the deck all the way down into the yard, so it was pretty fun. They were pretty fun to play with, and pretty sturdy, too. You know, I mean, they'd basically be an army man, and you had to go out of your way to try to destroy these things. And some of my friends probably honestly did. I use friends loosely. Around the time I got these, our local non-affiliated, non-network station, Channel 19 out of Cincinnati, which I've mentioned before on our shows, they started running the Marvel Superheroes cartoons from the 60s. This was the first time I'd ever seen them. I don't recall ever seeing them in the 70s when I was a younger kid. Between these and the Marvel Tales reprints, I was finally getting a taste of early Marvel, which was very cool. Plus, all five of the heroes were represented in figure form. Cap, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, and Namor. I seem to recall having the Hulk, but I don't know how I got him. Maybe it was some other Hulk toy that fit in with these that I already had. I don't recall having Iron Man. Those were the only two characters that weren't in the Heroes World sets that I ordered. What's amazing is now all of these characters have been in major motion pictures, well, except for Namor. Poor, poor Prince Namor. Heck, all the heroes minus him and the Human Torch are in Infinity War, which is just insane. Just stop and think about that for a minute. Wow. The sheer variety of characters that was in this line is what really sold me on it, because as a kid I had the Mego 8-inch Spider-Man, Captain America, and Hulk. I had the Pocket Superheroes Spider-Man and Hulk from Mego. I had the 12-inch Spider-Man from Mego, and then I had all three of those characters in the Energized line from Remco. But I never had the Falcon. I never had the Human Torch. I never had Iron Man. Of course, I didn't get Iron Man anyway. But I didn't have most of these characters. I had never owned in any kind of figure form. And some of them hadn't really even been made in figure form. So, that alone made me want these. I mean, just to see those floaty heads, those characters. And then to have them, and they were accurate depictions of them. So they really were sharp, and it really was cool. Yeah, it would have been better if they'd been actual action figures. But, hey, take what you can get. For some strange reason, I have none of my activated figures from childhood. I have absolutely none, which is very unusual, as I have examples of pretty much everything else I ever owned. I had two copies of the Spider-Man set, and somehow none of them survived into adulthood. I have no idea what happened to them. I keep hoping one of these days there's a box in my dad's basement, or maybe in his building, that I've just never come across. I really doubt it, but I keep hoping it'll one day appear. But that's for a lot of things, actually. Even more interestingly, there is very little info out there on these figures on the internet. My buddy Brian Heiler has featured the toys on his wonderful Plaid Stallion site at PlaidStallions.com, and the Spider-Man Collector on Facebook, which used to be SpidermanCollector.net, but I think that takes you directly to the Facebook page now. They have several photos of these sets and the additional sets that PPC made. It was through Plaid Stallions and Spider-Man Collector that I learned that PPC sold the figures in several configurations with cheap blow-molded vehicles. For example, there's a set that comes with Spidey, the Green Goblin, and the Falcon, and a motorcycle with a flat sidecar you can attach. So I guess the Falcon can just stand up with his wings spread. Isn't that kind of dangerous? I mean, the wind resistance is going to knock you right off of there, Sam. I'm just saying. The weirdest item I've seen from this line are called the Combat Team sets that come with either a Jeep or even more oddly, some kind of pickup tow truck thing. It's got three heroes and one villain and quote-unquote 20 soldiers. I'm assuming these are your standard army men, and if they are, they're probably not even to scale with the figures. I've never seen these out of the box, and you can't see the soldiers in the package, so they could be in scale. I don't know, but I'm betting they're probably not. What's really funny is on the box, they've done a pretty good job of taking artwork that you see on lots of Marvel licensed items at the time and redrawing parts of it to make it look like Spider-Man, Cap, and the Hulk are actually in this vehicle. But the weird thing is Spidey and Cap are leaping out of the Jeep and the truck and both show the Hulk driving. Now there's a scary thought. Whoa. This was probably done to capitalize on the popularity of G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, and military toys in general in the 1980s. I mean, that's the only reason I can figure you already have the superhero license and you say, you know what we need to do with these guys? Militarize it. Army men, combat team, why not, you know? Now, thrifty PPC also kept these figure molds alive past the life of their Marvel license. If you look on eBay, you will find fantasy figures that look very familiar to these. Type in PPC Marvel superheroes and you will find modified figures and no Marvel ones. Right now, you can find one that's based on the Torch figure that's been turned into some kind of gargoyle-like bat creature with an axe, the Falcon, who looks like a wizard with a cape draped under his outstretched arms, and Thor, well, actually, he still kind of looks like Thor. They basically just replaced Mjolnir with an axe. So, I mean, I guess you could actually probably take that one and a little modification make you a decent Thor figure. I would love to have a set of these guys back, but they are pretty hard to come by. I've never seen any of these in the wild, and I've actually seen quite a few of those South American Gulliver figures that were made of the DC characters. I have quite a few of those. They're quite a bit smaller than these, more closer to the actual normal army man size, but they're still nice. So if you ever see any of these out in the wild or on eBay, just give me a heads up, let me know. I don't really want to spend an arm and a leg on them. I'm sure they're probably pretty expensive if they come up, but I keep hoping I'll stumble across a set of them fairly cheap because there's, like I said, there's very little information out there on them. So, of course, I'm putting more information out there. Maybe I shouldn't do this after all. But anyway, if you see them, let me know. I don't want to grow up. Now, off of that and on to some sad news. As most of you know by now, it looks like Toys R Us is going out of business, at least in the U.S. The story of why is very complicated, but it basically involves something I really don't understand called a leverage buyout that took place around a decade or so ago. And it's basically a case of corporate raiders bleeding the company dry to the point where they don't have enough profits to operate. There have been overtures to save Toys R Us, notably from the head of the toy company MGA, maker of Bratz. They made a bid, but apparently that was rejected. I don't know why you would reject that, but apparently it was late last week. Maybe the folks in charge will make more money if the company does go belly up. You never can tell with these type of things. But the loss of the dedicated toy store is just heartbreaking to me. I mean, Toys R Us is pretty much it. All the other chains are gone. Children's Palace, KB Toys, they've been gone for 2 decades. KB's been gone for about a decade now. So, and Children's Palace went out in the 90s. I will be honest and admit that I haven't shopped at Toys R Us as much in the past decade or so due to not being able to find anything there usually because of their reluctance to clearance non-moving items so they can restock things that people actually want. I mean, Target doesn't leave anything sitting around for any amount of time. Sometimes they'll put stuff out on clearance when they first put it out, which is, that's like one extreme and Toys R Us is the other. But I do have fond memories of going to Toys R Us as both a kid, as a teen, as an adult collector, and of course, as a parent. The first time I recall going to Lexington, Kentucky Toys R Us was in 1986. My cousin took me to see An American Tale, and we stopped into Toys R Us. I remember seeing an entire end cap of Mego Spider-Man figures, dirt cheap. This was 4 years after Mego went belly up. I was tempted to buy a new one, but I had a decent Spidey at home still. So rather than buy a cart full of Mego Spideys, what did I buy? Brave Star, Mattel's new interactive space cowboy figure with a new Filmation show on TV. It was the only figure I bought from that line. Oh boy. The same year I visited Lexington and spent the night with a friend who was having a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. Also my first, or no, actually I think it was Showbiz Pizza. It was back when it was Showbiz Pizza. That was my first time in any of those places. But we stopped at Toys R Us and I picked up Blur and Cup from the upcoming Transformers the movie. It was the first time I ever saw them. Toys R Us is really what got my wife Cindy into collecting. You know, I would take her when we'd go to Lexington, I'd say, well, let's stop at Toys R Us and I'd see, you know, what action figures they had. And so she started, you know, checking out the Barbie aisle and you know, she noticed the collector Barbie dolls and the nice glass display cases and they called to her. And so she started buying some of them and that's why our house is now half full with Barbies. So there you go. Of course, we bought many items for the kids at Toys R Us. Lots of birthdays and Christmas presents were purchased there, including the infamous non-flying, flying RC Superman from Superman Returns for Andrew. We returned that piece of crap for the awesome Lego Arkham Asylum set after it didn't work. Just about a month ago, after the news hit, Cindy and I stopped at the Florence, Kentucky Toys R Us, and I actually found the Reaper from the DC Multiverse line, tying into another show I'm on, Nightcast with Ryan Daly. It's sad to know that in a few months this place will be gone. But of course, the real sad part is the thousands of people who will be out of a job due to this. Here's hoping they all land on their feet pretty quickly. There are some great YouTube videos from the usual toy show hosts out there on TRU Closing. Pixel Dan, Rodimus Primal, Retro Blasting, and a great history and commentary piece from Toy Galaxy are out there. So check those out. Well, I think that's about enough of my rambling. Go watch Avengers Infinity War. Maybe Hulk will show up driving a Jeep. They can use all the help they can get, looks like. Oh, and please, put away your toys when you're done, okay?
He's the sulky, over-bunky,
kinda hunky superhero.
Hot to twisted and electrically transistored superhero. And exotically neurotic
and aquatic superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived. Superpowered from the forehead to the toes. Watch them change their very shape before your nose. See arcane striking superhero change to Viking superhero. I'm dingin' real, slingin' shield, flingin' superhero. They're the latest, they're the greatest, ultimatest superheroes. The Marvel superheroes.